All right, right now on the show we have Robin Eschner, who's a composer from Northern California and is up here in Northern Minnesota, kind of just getting some inspiration for a piece that she's composing for the John Berggruis race in 2016. How are you doing today, Robin?
Good, thanks. Good to see you, Will.
Yeah, great. Tell us kind of how you found your way up here and got the funding to do this whole project.
The project is I have a McKnight Foundation grant through the American Composers Forum to write a song cycle that's about the history and culture of sled dog mushing in this area as pertains to John Berggruis, the person, and also to the marathon. And the way I got into this was I sort of fell in love with what the things Susan Butcher was doing on many years ago and started following her. And she became a source of inspiration for me whenever I'd be having kind of a rough time and think that I couldn't do something. I'd think, oh my God, are you kidding me? This woman's out here, you know, flying across Alaska with her dogs, and what I'm doing is nothing compared to that. So years later, when she died, I wrote a song for her and then set that as a choral piece. And that was picked up by a choir in White Bear Lake, the Century College Chorus, directed by Jocelyn Kalagian. And that was my entry point into Minnesota. And then when I found out that there was a visiting composer grant that you could apply for, I decided to sort of expand on that and apply for the grant and got it. So that's why I'm here. So I'm real excited to be
so
here.
What have you been doing to spend your time up here?
Oh, gosh. I've been all sorts of things. I've been everything from meeting with mushers and going out and seeing them and meeting their dogs and hearing their stories to going through archives in the different historical society museums and so on along the way. So I started in Duluth, and I've just been kind of inching my way up or down, depending on who you talk to. And now here, and for instance, yesterday I was up in Grand Portage and meeting with Mike Keyport, who's a great-great-grandson of John Berggruis, and talking with him and things like that, and sort of getting to know the terrain a little bit too and finding things that'll influence the music.
So I'm really curious, why mushing? Do you have like a history of doing that with dogs?
Why mushing? I have no history. I mean, I'll probably be the composer left, you know, frozen to a tree in the snow or something. No, I love dogs. I've always had dogs in my life since I was little. As somebody who lives in Northern California, it's been seriously just a fascination and respect for that world. And so for me to get to be here and experience it is incredibly exciting for me.
Have you been out to like go on a run with dogs and mushers?
I went with Colleen Wallen a few nights ago when it got down cold enough. I went out there and she took me on a run through the woods and out through this beautiful kind of open space area with 10 of her dogs, and she has 34 dogs now.
Wow.
And then I got to go up and I met with Frank Moe and got to see his team. I think he has 44 dogs. Tonight I'm going to go out and talk with Matt Groth and see about going out on an excursion. And I also got to spend some time talking with Arlie Jorgensen, which was wonderful, and hear about sort of the early days of the Berggruis and some more of the history of it. So
yeah, so you've really been getting the trial by fire sort of.
Oh, yeah. I've been to the laundry a lot, I'll say.
Oh,
you know,
man.
Every time I go, it's like, oh, I guess I better go wash these again.
Have you been, like, visiting some of the more, like, historical places up on the shore?
You know, everything seems sort of historical, so I'm not sure how to separate what, you know, I can only hope I'm hitting the right things. I'm just trying to meet people. I'm also trying to find out about the musicians along this area, because mm-hmm. I want the music to be both influenced by what I hear and people I meet in that world. But I also think I want to invite some musicians from along this way to come and be part of the project when we perform whatever it is I write for leading up to the Berggruis in 2016.
Yeah. So that was actually going to be my next question. What are you thinking musically for the piece?
Oh, You know, I have ideas, and I'm a little reticent to go too much into that because it'll probably change a lot the more I learn and relearn. I have some ideas. I'm trying to follow the marathon and stop at the different checkpoints and meet people. And so I'm doing a lot of listening to sounds that I hear out and about. And when I'm back in the winter, I want to also hear those. I also want there to be some component that's Ojibwe without falling into the cliches that you could easily fall into with that. So probably inviting some Ojibwe musicians to come and be a part of it also. So I have ideas, but I'm willing to blab on and on about that at some point, but maybe not quite yet.
Secret for now. I remember you were saying that for lyrics, you were looking for historical documents and actual letters from Bear Grease.
Yes, that's been my big quest, and we'll see what happens with that. I have this idea that, because when you hear, you know, like sitting in California looking at computers and reading in libraries and so on, it's totally different from arriving and even stepping onto the shore and looking out and thinking, oh my God, I can't believe he rode a boat that far on this lake. But I had this idea that when you read that the importance of people being getting mail between 1880 and 1900 in the middle of winter when they're cut off from everything else, what were those actual letters and what was being said during that time? And I think it would be fascinating to try to, so I'm trying to track down actual letters that would have been delivered to families in this area and use fragments of that writing as well as other things, because I'm wanting the words as much as possible to be collected from the people here.
I actually was on your blog earlier. You're keeping a blog as well.
I am.
Yeah, I saw a good letter there about some spoiled fish.
Oh, right. That was funny. I finally, with Carrie McHugh here in town, she let me dig through some boxes, and I finally found a letter dated 1892, and I was so excited, and it was in the winter time. I thought, oh my God, this is it. And I pulled it out, and it's totally illegible. It's like, oh, what happens if you
of course you it know, would be right? illegible.
And that's exactly what I thought. Oh my God, of course I would find the letter, and the guy can't, you know, his handwriting is horrible. You know, it was sort of funny. But then also there were all these great letters about things that were damaged, and yeah, so that I just stuck one on there that was from 1936 about some fish that was mailed and had gone bad by the time it got to the post office.
I love it. So for local musicians, who have you gone out to see and experienced so far?
I've gone out to hear Charlie Parr, which was great fun. And I went down and heard some musicians at an event down in Duluth. Tonight I'm going to go hear Eric Frost, also known as Frosty. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go hear him. And I have more things planned for... I'm still here for 2 more weeks. So.
Oh, great. So tell us about some of the other projects that you've done, apart from this one.
I've done a lot. I've come from a singer-songwriter background. And as part of that, I have a duo with my husband, who's also a composer and guitar player. And that's Bill Horvitz. And so we have that going on, Tone Bent. And then I'm in a group called Take Jack. There are 9 of us, and it's an ensemble that's sort of like a cross between Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Manhattan Transfer or something like that. So it's a lot of harmonies.
I can already kind of like hear that in my head.
And so those are 2 projects. And then I fell in love with writing choral music about 20 years ago now, and went back to school and started studying that more seriously so I would hopefully know what I was doing a bit more with that, and have done a lot of different choral settings of things.
Yeah. And are you you're a visual artist as well?
I am. I'm a painter. Actually, that's more how I've made my living, you know, for many years as a painter. And then I was always writing music during the same time. And then at some point, composing and so on has kind of trumped that a little bit. So I'm more maybe doing a bit more music than painting, but still doing both.
So you're up here for 2 more weeks,
mm-hmm.
and then going back to California?
Right.
All right. And then the final project is going to be in 2016. So what's the next step in the in-between there?
The in-between, I return mid-January in time to be in on the things leading up to the marathon, and then hopefully helping with the marathon and being at as many of the checkpoints as possible, and the things that happen afterward. And then I want to hole up in a cabin somewhere or something, someplace, and start composing the music. And I've decided I want to do that around here and be based out of Grand Marais.
That's exactly what I did when I moved up here.
Oh, really?
Go up the trail and just hide out for a while. So that's wonderful. Well, we've been speaking to Robin Eschner. She's a composer who's going to be writing a piece for the 2016 Bear Grease Sled Dog Race. Anything else you'd like to tell us?
If you have any boxes of letters around from your great-great-grandmother and you feel like sharing them, please get a hold of me. I'd love it.
I'm sure there are actually a lot of people who will have that, so hopefully they'll hear this and come forward.
Thank you, Will, very much.
Yeah, thank you. She's got two websites out. There's robineschner.com and then reschner, it's spelled E-S-C-H-N-E-R, at wordpress.com. Thanks a lot for
coming
on.
Thank you, Will.